Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We've got Thursday Night Football tonight for your Atlanta Falcons.
Rise
they will host
up.
The Buccaneers.
Falcons,
and what,
Falcons
what
rise
will
up.
Be his primetime debut, starting J.D. Bertrand in for Troy Anderson, who was not cleared to go this week. And again, it was a short week. He suffered an injury, a knee injury, in last week's game on Sunday Night Football. It feels like it was a blur. No, was it Monday night?
No, it was Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon. Thank you.
It was 1 o'clock.
All over the place, right?
It was like the only game in the last three that hasn't like, been a night.
What is a night game? What is that?
Three of our first five have been primetime.
Oh, my goodness. So. All right. Well, clearly I was out of town this weekend.
I mean, you've all missed right. Primetime Squid, Tiff.
Well, on that note, now let me just shift back to J.D. Bertrand, so who will be in primetime. And he talked about what it means for him to feel ready for this game.
I think for me, it's after once the game install has been in, going through previous games and matching our calls to different plays that they've done. And so that's kind of the biggest thing for me. Once I feel comfortable, hey, I can put any call to almost any play that they have shown on film, and I feel confident about that. Like, that's the biggest thing for me about feeling ready.
Well, first off, he's a Georgia State education in high school, so you know he's smart. And then secondly, you know, J.D. played at Notre Dame. He went to Notre Dame. That's not an easy school to get into, to play at, the academics. But you also know, that's one of the things that Ross said. He's like, his preparation every week is pretty much like he's starting. I have no issues with that. It's just, every once in a while might know the calls and all that, but do you trust what you think you know, or do you kind of allow yourself to get caught up in the moment?
Well, and I think there's going to be ups and downs, right? And I think that's what's most – and by the way, as a guy who used to work with Georgia Public Education, I have to point out that he went to a private school in Blessed Trinity, so I just want to throw that out there.
Whatever. It's still in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, sure. That's
still
cool.
Meet the requirements.
Make yourself feel better. No, man, I think that there's going to be ups and downs, and I think that's the biggest point is, to me, it's not – making sure you're identifying, which is a huge component, don't get me wrong, and doing all the right things. But I think that he can't allow himself to get caught up in the moment of there's a bad play, there's a good play. It has to be consistent, right? And we talked about that earlier. If he's getting hit in the mouth by the offensive lineman, you can't say, well, I'm going to fly downhill faster and all that other stuff, or I'm going to shed to this side because last time I got juked, or whatever it may be. Just every play has to be its own, right? When you're J.D. Bertrand, you're a rookie, I think that's one of the toughest things to do is every play has to be its own, has to have a life of its own when you're playing the linebacker position. That's going to be tough for him tonight.
Especially when you're facing a team that has the likes of Baker Mayfield, who we've talked about will be a challenge for this group to try to get a handle on.
Yeah, Baker has done a really good job getting the ball to his hands quickly. I think they've obviously built that in the offense. With the new OC, that was it Cohen, right?
Liam Cohen.
Yeah, that is. I could have just looked at my chart, but it's easier to ask you.
I got it. Tom Moore is an offensive assistant. This is his 46th year in the NFL. I just saw that on the sheet, like you're talking about. I'm still dumbfounded by that. That is unbelievable.
If his years of seniority would be older than any person on this show, and by 5 years, easily.
And not only that, that's just in the NFL. Like, it's 46 years in the NFL. He was the Georgia Tech running back coach in 1970, dude. The guy has seen more football than he's forgotten more football than any of us have seen.
I know we don't have done Keys, and I know you
and I want to get to Kirk Cousins too, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know you got Kirk. To me, is there any way you can limit the damage as a defense on first down? And I ask that knowing that this is a defense that has played cover three primarily. I say primarily a lot more than anything else. And they've done it with having their corners play off and their DBs play off. And what that does is that allows these 5 to 7 yard completions. And I don't consider that a chunk, but in reality, it is a chunk because basically, when you're limiting second and third and short, you're converting those a lot.
No, I agree with you. And look, I think the thing is that you look at this team, and obviously they're extremely successful offensively. Don't get caught up in what Tampa was last year in the run game. They were abysmal last year running the football and still were able to knock off the Falcons when they came to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is our team is actually decent against the run as far as yards per carry go. I think they're averaging 4.1 yards per carry, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look back at it. I know you have in front of it. They're not great running the ball, but they do a great job of setting up some of the short passes to create the explosive plays, but their yard per carry is not great. And I think with Gadecki out at right tackle tonight, you have to find a way to expose that. Now, Tristan Wirfs is your left tackle. He is, if not the best left tackle in football, then he's right behind Trent Williams. He's a Hall of Fame level left tackle. But you have to find a way to kind of attack him if they start utilizing him in the run game. But I think you're going to have success on the right side of their offensive line with Cody Mauch in year two out of North Dakota State. I think that's a thing that's kind of working in your favor. But it's all about timing. It's going to be all about situations. And do they even attempt to run the ball on first down, given the situation that's at hand, is going to be something interesting. Also, when they get in the red zone, is Baker Mayfield part of the run game, which he has shown, and he showed it last week, that he can score with his feet. That's another headache you're going to be seeing tonight.
Hopefully Kirk Cousins can cause some headaches. We haven't talked a lot about, I guess, some of the youth that's on this offense, side. Kirk Cousins talked about leading them on a short week.
Yeah, it was interesting talking to a few teammates who have not played on a short week, because I think I've done it, you know, more times than I care to admit. But I think it's a good challenge. I think that you know, you can still be ready, you know, as long as you're physically able to go. I think it's a deal that it's the same for both teams, and you got to go, you know, perform regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you talk about guys, because you didn't have a primetime game last week, so you definitely didn't have a Thursday game. So you talk about guys like Matthew Bergeron, talk about Bijan Robinson, you know, a number of other components when it comes to a Thursday game. When is the last time they played a Thursday night game, Bo? I'm trying to think in my head.
2022. Okay. A couple of years ago. In Carolina.
You're right.
So that was the game where Marcus Mariota threw the grenade.
Oh, man. Oh.
The grenade toss.
So yeah, it is a first, though, for a lot of these guys on a Thursday night on a quick turnaround week, as Kirk was talking about.
Yeah, Bijan hasn't been a part of this. Pitts played one in his rookie year, if I'm not mistaken. But you got a couple of guys on here that haven't gone through it. I mean, you know, it's quick. It's not just the game and the getting the ready and I want you to talk about this, Mike. Not just getting ready mentally and the game plan and what you're going against. I think it's just as much the physicality part and the physical part of, hey, how do I, you know, normally on a Thursday, I'm just getting ramped up. This probably Thursday is your hardest day of practice.
Yeah, it's your biggest day of the week.
And instead, I'm actually playing.
Well, it was funny, the conversation, Tiff, that Bo and I had this morning. He goes, man, I don't understand. I don't know why they're wearing the red helmets twice, you know, back to back. And I was like, well, they might not even put their helmets on this week. So the adjustment that comes from, like, the when you walk into a locker room that game week and you have a red helmet, it takes you like a day and a half to really get all the adjustments right, to kind of get that helmet suit. You know, you get air taken out, air pumped in, you move the chin strap, you might move it up or down. Like, you have to kind of tinker with everything. And so with them not even really practicing on a short week, it makes sense to go right back to the red helmet. You spent all week, you know, half the week last week getting ready for the red helmet. As a player, you're like, dude, I'm not going to go back to the black helmet just because we're on a short week. So that makes sense. And by the way, I love the red helmet. It's a great look. But there is a number of just different things like that that kind of go into short weeks that a lot of people don't think about in terms of preparation.
Well, I thought it was a great point because normally when you have these throwbacks, I think last year they wore them three times. They might be wearing them three times this year. I forgive me. I just don't recall. But to do it back to back in a 4-day period to me seems odd. And so I brought. I can't believe they're wearing it because I like to spread them out so I get more. I feel like it's just. So when he brought that all up, I go, dude, I never thought of that, and I guarantee you that there's a lot of people out there just like me that never thought about how much time that they probably would spend adjusting each guy's helmet when they get a new one. Now, you would think you just get the old one back, but you never know. You know, you never know what goes through all this.
And I'll tell you what, it's honestly one of the reasons I talk about this a little bit is because I think it's even a bigger point when it comes to college football. Like, you know, I mean, you know how the alternate uniforms have become such a big thing in college football. What happens in college football when your helmet comes off? You go out for a play, right? And so adjusting that chin strap is more important than it's ever been in college football. When you change helmets, it's like, dude, you might want to get that thing hooked up, make sure it doesn't fly off your head, because that's a huge loss when you have to lose a player. Obviously different in the NFL, but there's a number of just different things that it comes to your weekly preparation. And these guys are all so set in their routines. I mean, think about a guy like Jake Matthews, who's played in, what, 100-plus straight games. He's going to have to adjust that routine, and obviously he's been there before, but it's just different, man. It's just different.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.